Well, that was a cheery gospel. Yeah, chop, chop. Jesus certainly makes his point sometime, does he not? There's no question about that. However, after having spoken about darkness and the evil one 2 weeks ago, I thought maybe we'd veer off the beaten path a little bit this morning and talk about goodness and light and not perhaps focus on demons and devils and going to hell with the unquenchable fire sort of thing. So I'd like to take a little license, and for those of you who are here on Wednesday, bear with me, and I'll throw some more things in for you. But yesterday was the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels. You heard me mention that a few times. It was also our Creative Corner craft fair, which was a lot of fun, and we did very well. It's also my oldest son's birthday. He turned 32 yesterday. So the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels is near and dear to my heart, as are the angels as well. In popular culture, a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago at this point, there was kind of a resurgence of interest in angels. There's even a study of angels, angelology. And I remember all kind of people, you know, wearing angels around their neck and t-shirts, you know, I lost my grandson and now he's an angel in heaven sort of thing. And a lot of misconception and a lot of mistruth about what angels really are. So I like to use the analogy, because it's just so absurd, of a tennis ball and a Big Mac. A tennis ball is a tennis ball, and a Big Mac is a Big Mac. A tennis ball will never become a Big Mac, and a Big Mac will never become a tennis ball. In the Collect for St. Michael and All Angels, it begins, "O Lord, you created and constituted wonderful orders of men and women and angels." Angels are created beings. They're created by the Lord. There are myriads of angels with myriads of ranks and names and various and sundry things. But an angel is an angel, a person's a person. A tennis ball is a tennis ball, and a Big Mac's a Big Mac. So just in case there was any doubt in your mind about what angels are and are not, that's the starting point, period, end of sentence. So what are the angels? Well, the angels are messengers of God. They are messengers of God. There are four angels named in Scripture: St. Michael, Uriel, Gabriel, and Raphael. We hear of angels both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, of course. They do God's bidding various and sundry ways. So what does an angel look like? Well, sometimes they take the form of human beings. Sometimes they're just spiritual beings that are out there. But their mission and their ministry is not only that of a messenger, but they're also there to protect and defend us on earth, as the Collect tells us as well. And so what does an angel look like again? Well, if we look at the book of Genesis, after Adam and Eve were booted from the garden, you remember that whole story, you know, they ate the apple and did the snake thing and whatever, they were kicked out. God put the angel with the flaming sword at the entrance of paradise so that they could not return. So that kind of angel might look rather angry. But if we go and look at Isaiah when he entered the temple and he heard the seraphim chatting with each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts," we hear the angels sing the praises of God. And they sing the praises of God constantly. And that also is their ministry as well. And if we think of our Lord's birth, who were there? The angels flitting around the sky, myriads and myriads of angels. And what were they proclaiming? Glory to God in highest and peace to his people on earth. The never-ceasing hymn that they continue to sing. And just as they were there for our Lord's birth, they were there also when he was in the desert and he was tempted by the evil one. Remember, he was driven out into the desert. 40 days he was there. The devil came and tempted him, if you are this, if you're that, that sort of thing. But after all the temptations were over, after all the trials and the tribulations were ended, the angels, in the end, come and do what? They minister to the Lord. They minister to the Lord. There they are. And who is there at the day of the resurrection, at the empty tomb when the women come with the spices to anoint our Lord's dead body. There are the angels again. You seek the Lord. He is not here. He is risen. Go and tell the others the good news that he indeed is risen. And so they're messengers. They proclaim the glory of God. They sing his praises in heaven, on earth, and so forth and so on. And so what about us? Well, you all know the movie It's a Wonderful Life, right? Who has not seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? So we may think of the angels like Clarence. Clarence, of course, is the guardian angel that looks over the character that Jimmy Stewart plays. And Jimmy Stewart's in a dark place in his life, and he jumps off the bridge, and he's going to drown. Clarence swoops in and saves him, and they have this wonderful relationship. And we go through the trials and tribulation of, I can't remember his name, Jimmy Stewart's character's name, but Clarence is there. And in the end, Clarence does such a good job, he gets his wings, and we hear the little bell tinkling at the end of the movie. So now we've moved into fairy tales and myths and that sort of thing, but not really. Because in Catholic thought, small c, angels are very real. Angels are very real and are created not only to sing God's praises in heaven and on earth, but also, as the colic says, to protect and defend us on earth. The soul, as one of the great saints wrote, has such great dignity, and we all have a soul, remember, and it is immortal. The soul has such great dignity that God has sent to each individual soul an angel to protect and defend you here on earth. I can personally witness to that. Now, I'm not going to get all loopy here. No, I didn't see an angel. No, it didn't look like Clarence. No, it didn't have a flaming sword. No, it wasn't some bright, illuminary figure. But there have been moments in my life, there have been moments both spiritually and personally and physically, where I have been in dark places, where I have been in harm's way, and I felt protected. Now, getting a little older, so if you heard the story before, you're going to hear it again. So I was going, and I can repeat myself because I can't. So I was coming home from seminary one night after studying late. It was a terrible thunderstorm in Washington, D.C., actually Arlington, Virginia. It's going down Rock Creek Parkway, going underneath the Memorial Bridge, which connects Arlington Cemetery with D.C. And the area was low, and it flooded. And I was in my 1972 orange Volkswagen Beetle with the rack on the top that made it hum when you went down the highway at 60 miles an hour. And as I was coming around the corner, I saw that there was water in the road. I wasn't going very fast, and when I hit the water, I began to hydroplane. And it all happened in a split second, literally in a split second. And I'm thinking, I'm going to hit this low guardrail that's right around the corner. And I was headed right for it. And I'm thinking, this is not going to be a good outcome, because there's not much between you and the driver's seat with a 1972 orange Volkswagen with the rounded front. So I held onto the wheel, and you can't do anything when you're sliding on water. You all know that if you've ever had that terrible experience. And the car started to hydroplane. At the very last second, true story, honest to goodness, the last second, the wheel jerked, and before I knew it, I was back on the road. I don't know how that happened. I didn't do that. I was headed for the guardrail. I can only attest that something greater and larger than me saved and protected that moment for me. And that's an honest to goodness true story. I mean, literally, I could feel it out of my hands jerk and turn. And I was shooken up, and I got home and all that. And then there's been other moments I won't share, but you've all had moments of darkness in your lives. If you haven't, then you're not human, and you know, there's no one here. You know, moments of great joy, I hope, as well. But it's sometimes the moments that move us to a different place are the darkest parts in our lives. And sometimes when we have those moments, we might feel very alone. We might not even feel the presence of God. We might not even realize that God is surrounding us. But he is, always, by his Holy Spirit. But he has helpers, too, and that are the guardian angels. In that moments when we enter into that darkness or that doubt or whatever it is, remember that you're always surrounded by that presence of Almighty God, that presence of Almighty God and His holy angels as well. I like to think of the darkness, and I have a visual in my head. I was at Monmouth Cave, I think it's Monmouth Cave in Missouri, many, many years ago, and they take you down and they take you to the depths of the cave and they turn out the lights. And it's so dark, literally so dark, that you cannot see your hand in front of your face. It's that dark. And when you're enveloped in that kind of darkness, and you know there's people around you, you know that they're there, but you can't see them, and everybody's so quiet, you know, it's kind of an eerie feeling. Well, sometimes we're in that place. But then what they did is they took a match and struck a match, and that one tiny flame filled the entire space with light. Filled the entire space with light. And you could see other people's faces, and you could see that, you know, that you were okay, that the darkness, you know, did not overcome, that you weren't stuck in that darkness, but the light came. That's what the angels do as well. They bring us that light. They bring us that hope. They're reminders of God's love. They're reminders of God's mercy. They're reminders of God's presence in our lives. So I don't know what your angel looks like, but I know that you have one. I don't know what his or her name is, but I know there is one looking after you every single day. God wants that for us. God wants us to know that we're surrounded by His love, by His presence. And those creatures of His angels are reminders that we too have a friend in Christ that come to us on a regular basis. So go home and watch It's a Wonderful Life. We have it on Amazon. I watch it at least once a year. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. Think of Clarence, think of the bell, but think of the presence of the angels and God in our lives that bring us light and goodness, sometimes in moments when we don't realize that God is even there. And give thanks to Him for that wonderful ministry of the angels who both protect us in this world and sing God praises in heaven as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.